There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories.
Yes.
You want a tissue?
No, it just didn't happen.
God bless you.
What a special day today, Eddie.
Yeah, you almost sneezed.
I didn't want to keep that beginning. I didn't want to keep that beginning to the show because it's not good radio. Not being able to sneeze.
Yeah,
because
a sneeze itself is bad radio.
Yes.
But not even being able to deliver on that bad sneeze.
That's just silence.
That's worse.
Yes. Welcome to Side Stories. My name is Henry Zebrowski. I'm sitting here with Ed Larson.
Hello.
And people were asking, when are we putting out our content from Contact in the Desert?
Now. It's
done.
Happening.
Congrats.
Yeah, you love it.
We made it. Mm-hmm. So we're not doing nearly as much as we did last year. I am going to tell you that. But so we're putting out the best of the best of what we got from that weekend out here to all of you. And this is a really great interview.
We pretty much got the guys that they said no to everyone but us.
Yes, we were the only people to speak with Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp.
Yeah.
And it was really nice because I got to straight up ask George Knapp if he'd be okay with being my father.
Yes.
And
I'm pretty sure I asked.
I'm not going to spoil it. We're not going to spoil it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He might do it.
Because the answer is no.
I mean, I think it was maybe.
It was a solid.
He didn't say no.
It was
I don't think he said no.
He was railroaded.
The audience will decide.
He was railroaded.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we do best.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But this interview, we talk about stuff that nobody else was talking about at Contact.
Yeah.
No one was talking about the drones.
Why was no one talking about the drones?
Because
I was losing my mind about that the entire time I was there.
Contact this year, I'm going to go out and say, was one of the biggest sheep dipped year I've seen at Contact.
Whoa.
In terms of, we spoke with several people that I am more than certain were members of the intelligence community.
Yeah.
And we know that we talked to people that were members of the intelligence community and said that they were retired.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we know about the intelligence community?
Yeah, you're only one way out.
Gosh, gosh, gosh. The old Epstein elevator, right? That's the only way fucking out, man. So when you talk to some of these guys, I'll even just name Paul Smith.
Yeah.
We're going to be releasing that on Patreon, and talking to him scared the living shit out of me.
But it was weird. Like, he was like using his shit on us. Cause like during the conversation, I'm like, nice. And then when we left, I was like, I'm scared.
Well, cause you know, it was him being like, yeah, I did certain intelligence operations in Eastern Europe and Africa, but we don't need to get all into that. But it's like, let's talk about it. And I was just like, it sounds like you might've done a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Sounds like you might have a bunch of destabilizing governments.
I think there's a chance he was lying, but I didn't think that until afterwards.
No, he's a real deal.
Yeah.
He's real deal. You can also tell by his hands.
Oh, yeah. No,
big
he's
man.
Strong. Very strong. Very barrel-chested.
But this interview is with Jeremy Corbell.
If you chest-bumped Paul Smith.
Oh, he'd rip your tits off.
He's a bounce house of a man.
He'll rip right through your spine. He'll destroy your sternum. But we talked with Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp. Now, people have varying opinions on Jeremy Corbell. I've actually really gotten to know Jeremy, and I have a good time with him.
He's a hot shot.
He's a hot shot.
I like him.
Those guys coming in there, it was like, because Jeremy goes everywhere with like five cameras around him.
Yeah.
So he walks everywhere with the phalanx of cameras, and then George Knapp couldn't give a shit, man.
Yeah.
George Knapp is the coolest man to live. All I want to do is smoke a cigar with him, and I don't even smoke cigars.
Yeah.
I want to do manly stuff with him.
Yeah, I want to play with leather.
I want to go out there, and I want to get a whip.
Yeah.
I want to get some leather and whips. Yeah.
Oh, that's what we should do. We should take him to like a Polish Schwitz and get whipped by palms and stuff like that.
Can we just sit in a hot tub together once?
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah.
I want to sit with him in bathing suits.
You don't do the schwitzes that much. You're not a schwitzy.
I'm already schwitzing.
Yeah.
At normal room temp. You know, I don't need the extra schwitz.
Yeah. It's good for you though.
Apparently.
Yeah, you love it. One day I'm gonna get you in there.
I swear, I've been doing cardio more.
Yeah.
So I've been back to sweating.
No, but that's, you know, this is so you don't have to do cardio. You just sit there and sweat.
Oh, that's what fat guys do.
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah,
that's amazing. It
gets the toxins out.
I really got to start being more fat.
Yeah. Jeremy Corbell was cool. He came to our comedy show, sat front row like he was like the king of the of Jerusalem.
But I felt really bad because we were talking mess at him immediately. But he had a great sense of humor. Yeah. And that, like, to be honest, I really appreciated the support from Jeremy coming out to the comedy show because it shows we're having serious discussions, but we can have fun with it.
Amen. You have to, especially in these situations.
This stuff's so deadly serious. Yeah. So it's important to have a rigorous mind intellectually, but have a humorous penis.
You know what I love about these two guys is that whenever I've seen like their docs or their short docs, it's always like someone presents them with information and be like, yeah, but can you prove it?
I love that.
It makes me so like, because everyone else is like, oh, that happened. It's real. Because just because someone said something and they're like, fuck you. Show me the proof.
And their morning show, yeah. When I went and introed George in the morning to do their like
speech. It was
speech,
good.
That was the best thing I saw at Contact.
Nap was hilarious.
Nap was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, so that's what I was saying before. Like, I really like Weaponized and But watch their special presentations. Mm-hmm. They do great, great work. George Knapp broke down Disclosure so much better than anybody else I saw the entire week.
He talked to us like we're all normal people and not crazy.
Yes.
Which is like everyone else there is just like, you know, this is what happened. This is how they ripped me to shreds, you know.
But George Knapp couldn't be more of the real deal. So anybody that he likes, I like.
Yes.
So
Henry likes himself.
Yes.
And me. Because I don't know why they even talk to me. Well, because I know you.
Well, no, they like you. I actually think they like talking to you better than talking to me. I'm pretty certain they're super relieved when you're there. But now listen to our Side Stories interview with Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp of the Weaponized podcast. And George Knapp, Las Vegas investigative reporter extraordinaire, and normal co-host of Coast to Coast AM.
Yeah, we're going to take him to the, what's the place I want to go to?
We're going to definitely take him to Golden Steer.
Golden Steer. We
also,
gotta take him.
I'm putting this out here right now. If somebody has a connection to get us a reservation at Golden Steer,
we'll pay.
I will invite you.
What? We're going to go with a random person?
If they're good.
If they're good, well, we could talk to you. I'm going to talk to you first.
But if you can help, if you
decide,
if somebody
can eat in front of you.
If somebody can hook it up, this is how we're all going to hang out with George Knapp.
Yeah.
No. Understand that.
I want to spend too much money on George Knapp.
I want to take him out like he is a hot lady. I want to take him out like he's that, what was that? It was the lady from True Detective, Alexandra Daddario.
Yeah. Ooh.
I'm going to treat him.
I was thinking Charo.
Yeah, sure. George Knapp, Charo, can't tell the difference. Enjoy this interview.
Live from your grave.
Yes.
All right, bring us in, baby.
All right, let's first talk about, we're not going to talk about the fact that we all talked about how to get heroin together. And yes. We're not going to talk about the fact that we're talking about how we can distribute that heroin in a bunch of different ways, all right? So let's just not, we'll cut all that
cut
out.
Cut all that out.
We'd like to bring to your attention that we have the Taylor Swift and Beyonce of Contact in the Desert. They are the two hottest individuals in this building. They're coming for you.
Which one is Taylor and which one's Beyonce?
You're Taylor Swift. Yep. You're Beyonce.
Oh, thank God.
Yep. Yeah. So I think that's how I'm going to put it, because you write the hits. You dance.
She's a talent.
Yeah. You can really, really dance. We have here two of the foremost names in ufology, if that's bad for them or not. It is George Knapp, Jeremy Corbell. You also have the Weaponized podcast, and you also have years of documentaries that Jeremy Corbell has directed, and George Knapp is the man.
Of course, go watch Investigation Alien if you haven't done it yet on Netflix.
Great to see you guys again.
Good to see you, dudes. First of all, how's the contact been? You just got in, right, today? You guys just started this?
Oh, straight up, yeah. Just jumped in today. It was great, man.
Do you ever feel paranoid the fact that you guys got a lot of cameras on you all the time?
Yeah, but I kind of feel like we do that whether we're at an event like this or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're happy to be here and interact a little bit. I get a little claustrophobic in big crowds anymore. I mean, maybe it's a function of getting older or something, but get a little bit like that. We were at an event in Oregon, most fun UFO event in the world, maybe McMinnville UFO Fest 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Get to meet a lot of people. It's a lot of fun. People drink, put on alien costumes. It's a gas. Yeah. It's like no other UFO event that I've ever been to. But you meet a lot of people, shake a lot of hands, take a lot of selfies, and pick up a little bug. I know I did.
We call it concrud.
Yeah.
Concrud. That's what you got.
Concrud.
And so, you know, 9 days in after catching this bug, we're back into the middle of it. I hope to spread a little bit.
Oh, I please. Want a PCU, I'll take. Yeah. Any yes. part of your DNA inside of me.
It's not going to help you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. You seem strong.
Speaking of which, I really want to, you know, before we get into anything too deep, we kind of talked about a little bit. Henry's father passed away 2 weeks ago. It's been rough, but we are interviewing people to be his new dad.
And if you want to take
you
on.
You are high on the list.
If you want to take on this project.
Look, there's a lot of discipline in my household, okay? So I'm just saying.
George, what's sex?
It's going to be rough, man.
I'm trying to think of where to begin on that one. Yeah. How basic do we get?
Please tell me what sex is. My wife is begging me. Please tell me how to be with her.
Oh, I knew it was going to go this way.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, we'll talk after. I'll get you later. You guys have been at the tip. You're the tip of the spear of a lot of information right now. And I don't even really know how to sum up where the hell we're at. Because it feels like there was a big disclosure push. And it felt like there was a lot of stuff going on. And then it does sort of feel like it sputtered out. But it then created a whole alt world of information that you guys are really kind of like delivering in packets at a time. Like, does that, like, do you feel overwhelmed with the fact that you're kind of on that path and you have that? I mean, you've always been, but like, it feels like it's hotter than ever.
Yeah, it's hot and it's manifests itself in so many different ways on so many platforms. To me, it feels like there was this big push 2017 on, incredible progress, things that I would never see in my lifetime. Congress holding hearings first time in a half a century and then continued to do it and new programs being set up. And it feels right now we're in the Empire Strikes Back phase.
Yeah.
The brakes have been put on. Counter attacks have been launched. Momentum has been dulled a little bit for the movement in general. A lot of disinformation and debunking out there, some by folks in the public sector, possibly directed by government folks, I think, are involving it. So, you know, we just keep trying to plug away and poke holes and move things forward. And but it's tough. It's hard right now.
It's interesting because you all were a big part of the hearings back in November. And then I always found it incredibly crazy that as soon as those were over, we talked when it was happening. And then as soon as they were over, drones took over the news almost to bury the hearing that had just happened. Has there been any progress on the drones? Were they just some crazy smoke screen or
there's
like,
no talk about drones at this UFO festival.
Which
and
is
I
crazy.
Have no fucking idea. Not to criticize Contact, but I have no idea where that coverage is. And why? What happened to it?
It's an incredibly telling moment for, you know, all the momentum that was members going to Congress and statements in front of Congress and official agencies coming forward saying we don't know what the hell they are, and the public looking up and seeing all this stuff, and every single day, all day long, social media with images and things of that sort, and people vowing to get to the bottom of it, and crazy stories come from the Coast Guard and nuclear plants and military facilities. And then the FAA, which is part of this investigation, and it issued these joint statements with the FBI and other agencies. We don't know where these are coming from, but we're trying to get to the bottom of it. And then the White House says, oh yeah, the FAA authorized those, and then it all goes away. Obviously, the FAA didn't know they authorized all those drones. Yeah. They had no idea what the hell they were talking about. The White House said it. To me, that's bloody handwriting on the wall that they are not going to give this stuff up. It basically cut the nuts off of the FBI and the FAA for their attempts to get to the bottom of it for the White House with no explanation to, like a magic wand, wipe it off the face of the earth and demystify this mystery, right?
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. I mean, it's crazy that we haven't heard more about that. I think it was the FAA was like, well, if we were informed, we didn't know. And the fact these were over military bases and it just kind of wiped away. I do find it weird that there's not more talk about that here, but also what else do we have to go on? These come in waves, right? So we'll see it again.
But I mean, that technology, whatever it is, it's scary. If that's us testing this stuff, really, we tested it 17 nights in a row at Langley Air Force Base and didn't tell them. We shut down Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. We flew it over nuclear power plants and freaked people the hell out. The three bases in the UK caused all kinds of trouble. Plant 42 here in the desert, not far from here. These drone incursions over the, ironically, the place where we are developing our next generation of drones. These drones shut things down. You can't track them. You can't see them coming in. You can't track them when they leave. You can't bring them down, according to the our buddy Chris Sharp in the UK. They use the most...
I saw a couple of those where you saw another drone approach something that looked like an orb, and then you watch one take out the drone, and we're like, what is happening?
Drones are the new swamp gas. Drones are the new weather balloons. They're the all-purpose explainer. Oh, yeah, that's just a drone. Don't pay attention to it. In the meantime, maybe they are ours. I hope they're ours, but that's not how all of officialdom seems to have acted.
Because if it's ours, why would we show it to everybody in such a public way?
Why would we freak the public the hell out? Now, I will tell you, I've shared this with some of the government insiders that Jeremy and I deal with. Said, look, if this is not an exercise or a sociological study of how the public would react to mass sightings over a large area and extended period of time, somebody should be studying it. How would we react if these unknowns were in our sky being seen by millions of people night after night after night? Well, public didn't panic. There was a lot of interest in it, a lot of scuttlebutt and discussion. Nobody panicked. Nobody ran for the hills. Nobody stockpiled guns and ammo because they already loaded up on all that stuff.
Yeah, we're good. Doing that.
The public handled it just fine. They just wanted to know what was going on, and they got butkus from the public agencies.
So if we're not going to learn anything from America, I think it's safe to say at this point, our government isn't going to tell us anything.
Well, because it feels like the new administration's even more has a Christian bent, and they really are. I was reading about the Seven Mountain philosophy this morning about the idea of the seven mountains that the Christian nationalists want to sort of take over, which is like family, education, media, entertainment, business, and government. And that there's something about that that also seems to be happening. We know that there's an evangelical streak in the military, and they're scared of the shit.
Yeah. But if we're not learning anything from us, are there other countries that have information that seem like they might be more willing to share than America, like India or something?
You'd hope. I mean, I suspect a lot of the countries around the world that are allies of ours, or were until recent times, take their cue from the U.S. You know, we know that there are pretty solidly documented stories about the U.S. going wherever to pick up something that crashed here and there. There are records of it. There are great accounts of it. Brazil, for example, they have crash retrieval operations where the Americans take all the good stuff away.
They just open up all their files, too.
Yeah, well, a lot of those files have been out before. But, they've opened up their files. They've done it before. Britain has done it. France has done it to an extent. We can claim that we've done it as well. There's a heck of a lot of information out there, except for all the really juiciest stuff we don't get to see. You would hope that other governments would do it. If Putin was pissed off at us, would he jump the gun on it? I don't think it's in his best interest to break open that secret either. Or
Trump,
China.
Trump just said he might realize that Putin might be lying to him. Guys, he thinks that Putin might be lying to us.
That's going to break his heart, I think. It would break his heart.
I think it would make him cry himself to sleep. Yeah.
That'd be like you telling me you're lying to me.
I never lie. I've never lied once. I'm 6'9". I'm the best guy for this. No, but that's very, like... Yeah, it is. What do you think else is going to happen? The fact that America is going to be turned away from the being like how do you say, like, no one's going to be asking us what our opinion is anymore.
Well, maybe that'll help on this issue. I don't know. And I don't know where it leads. If they no longer have to follow our example, maybe somebody does open it up. But again, I don't see that it's in the best interest of any government in the world to go ahead and say and spill the beans, especially if they have crash retrieval materials. If they ever hope to be back in our good graces, that would go out the window. And it's, you know, I don't think that anybody really knows what the consequences will be. You know, a lot of people have done studies and thought about it and had these little think tank exercises where they try to project what how the public might react, what the effects would be on social institutions. And then when those studies have been done in the past, they pretty much said it would be chaos, it would be bad. I don't know if we're still at that point. The one big question mark, we don't know what it is. We disclose what, and are supposed to predict what the effects would be. We don't know what the what is exactly. Aliens from other planets visiting us, we could probably handle that. Demons living here and snatching people for food, I don't know if we can handle that. I don't know what the truth is.
I hope for it. I mean, could the drone thing, could that have been what Project Bluebeam was?
I don't know.
Jeremy, huh?
I don't have a thought on that. I don't know what happened with that. As you guys are talking, I'm thinking about even in conflict, we've had these kind of agreements that have been kind of beyond the conflict. So during the Cold War, I filmed with a bunch of guys that were working on the low nuclear reaction, which I think at Lawrence Livermore Laboratory and that kind of thing. And so scientists that were working on nuclear technology or fission technology, they had a phone in their lab directly, multiple have told me this, that connected them to their counterparts in Russia during the Cold War. So there was this kind of like agreement that we were aligned about something that they were working on even during an outward facing problem. So I think the UFO thing, as you guys are talking, that there's got to be some agreement, you know, between our government and other governments that this is just not something that we're going to disclose to our public. And that kind of is freaky if you think about it. What is so freaky or destabilizing that you'd have even warring countries agree on that? And I don't know what that is, but
fly from your grave.
I mean, one thing that seems to keep popping up is more about what is the nature of our history. It seems to be a lot of people are very, very concerned that there's some sort of proof that we weren't like natural, that humans aren't a quote unquote natural extension of consciousness and that we were helped.
That idea has been kicking around a long time.
Yeah.
First time I heard it was from Bob Lazar. He had said he read this stuff. He said, I don't know why I was allowed to read it. It has nothing to do with my job, why they showed this to me, but that humans had been genetically manipulated more than a few dozen times by them, whoever they are, and it created us. Could people handle that? I suspect eventually they could.
Right?
You know?
I feel like at that point, what's the difference between that? If you're already like a creationist or if you believe anything like that, what's there any difference?
Well, it depends on what the ultimate product is supposed to be. If the aliens are genetically manipulating us to get to what point? Like chickens with giant breasts?
Hopefully.
You know.
Please.
We're getting there.
My God, please. I could get me a five-leg chicken. I'm ready to go.
You could become one.
Oh, yeah, I want one.
you don't know what the it is. So, and I suspect there are, I don't know anybody who does know. Jeremy and I are working at this a long time, and I don't know anybody who knows the ultimate truth to what it is that is not being revealed. Maybe nobody does. You know, they got bits and pieces of the story. They put together what they think the truth is. But how do you make an announcement like that, and it stops here? And you think people aren't going to have other questions beyond whatever here is? Of course they are.
They do certain examples with it. I kind of see they're doing it with Epstein, right? They're doing it with they said we released the files, and then the files are a bunch of gobbledygook and mostly just kind of like names on paper and numbers on paper. And then they're saying our YouTube, former YouTube star, now FBI director, Dan Bongino, is now he's saying that America. They got the video of Epstein getting choked. And I think it was being done by Elvis.
He made the official announcement on
that.
That's good.
But it's like, I feel like the waters are truly muddier than they've ever been almost.
And they're being intentionally muddied now more than I've ever seen. And we've seen that directly, that as this kind of push for transparency goes and you get public interest and excitement and we started actually making waves in Congress, man, the intelligence agencies have flooded the zone. And I can tell you that from personal experience, the number of people from different agencies that have overtly come and tried to talk with me and George about the topic, it shows me the level of interest and it shows me that they're flooding the zone and trying to control the narrative. And that's fascinating. I don't know what that's going to do.
We've been saying something on the podcast since it started and even before then. The closer you get to the goodies, the harder the pushback becomes. And we're seeing it right now.
Yeah, because you guys are really like, you got some heat talking about we were talking a little bit before this where I was saying about the idea that they are we're going to bust the false flag. We're busting that false flag right here. We're going to fucking stop it in its tracks.
What is the false flag?
They're going to make some form of announcement that the aliens are on their way.
That's what people were saying. And so the thing is, they were kind of whispering it. So I was just trying to take the quiet part and make it loud and say that I personally think that's absolute bullshit. I know where that comes from, that kind of rumor mill. I know who's been spreading it. And to me, it seemed very dangerous because people would be approached who's like an influencer on YouTube or something, and they're told, yeah, hush, hush.
Big fat, big fat idiot me. I'm ready for talking points.
Did they come to you yet and tell you, hey, you got to be scared. This is going to happen. So that's on my show when I made that statement. People cut it up and make it seem like I'm calling that there's going to be some Project Bluebeam thing. What I'm saying is simple. I'm saying that people are being told that, like, very seriously. And they're being whispered that to kind of gain, I think, to kind of gain people's loyalty that they're in on something. And I just publicly called bullshit, I guess, on a big ass TV show. And then people were kind of twisting what I was saying. I'm just saying, I don't think anybody has anything to fear about that. I think it's absolute bullshit. It comes from a 70s classified document, to the best of my knowledge, that's where that theory comes from. And yeah, to be loud and fucking clear, I believe personally that to be a bullshit narrative, and you should, you know, be aware that it's being pushed.
I am old enough to remember Bo and Peep and a certain planetary body called Hale Bopp and the giant alien spaceship traveling behind it. I'm not ready to drink their Kool-Aid yet, or the new brand of Kool-Aid that's coming out.
The food's gross. I saw the menus at Heaven's Gate. Yeah. It was not good.
Yeah, just the whole idea that maybe it's the Earth is about to end, a giant comet or asteroids are coming, or the alien virus is going to be unleashed, or whatever the heck it is. Those things come round and around, just like a merry-go-round. You hear those kind of stories. If you stick around the topic long enough, every few years they come back around.
But the phenomena doesn't stop. I do find it interesting because everybody says, you know, we talked about it with Whitley yesterday. Everybody kind of has like a little like humankind is on a turning point. Humankind's at a change point, some pivot point. But it is interesting because it feels like the plot hasn't moved forward. Like the plot's the same, but they've all like the big change hasn't coming, but they haven't stopped visiting. So it's like, what is, if there's not a big change, is it more just like an acceptance maybe? Maybe that's what disclosure is?
I hope so. That'd be great. On the other hand, if it's going to be the end of the world, I'd like to know right now, because we got 2 good years of partying and whooping it up before it gets here.
Yeah.
You know? We just act that way.
Yeah.
It's interesting because like, if it's 2 years and they tell us, you know, if we keep it hushed, then they're coming. And if we explode and talk about it a bunch, then they're not coming.
Yeah.
Then the whole thing seems like bullshit to me, because then you're just like, oh, we talked about it a bunch. We stopped it. We're heroes. That's why it's so fishy to me.
Yeah. No one really explains it either. That's the thing. When you press people on that that thing going around the 2027 to 2036 date, it's always this moving target. They never tell you what it is that you're supposed to be worried about. Like,
Have you ever followed any of the Stephen Schwartz telepathy machines? He's like doing this thing using AI. He's trying to fuel these like things to talk about the future, like and guess the future. And his big thing is that in the 2040s, there will be an altering event. There will be an altering event. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? What? What is it though?
I suspect there will be. Yes. I mean, we're always changing.
Yeah, if you're picking a decade, anything can happen within a decade. You know, there could be an earthquake or, you know, whatever.
You're not Nostradamus, buddy.
I mean, humanity is a turning point. Well, that's pretty much every day.
You know? Yeah. Well, Y2K was bullshit. 2012 was bullshit. It's like they pick a year to sell shirts and then we move on.
Good point.
And the toilet paper industry just goes crazy.
Whoa.
But I think without a timeline, it's still extremely important to know what's going on, especially if whatever it is doing displays like we just saw. Like, it kind of feels like hey, just so you know, your government kind of really has got nothing to do with us, and even your actions have nothing to do with us. We can kind of do whatever we want.
We're in control, right? That's the thing that George and I have talked about this a bunch. That they seem like performances, a lot of these sightings, encounters, mass sightings, where they're not really like, they're not stopping Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So everybody's like, oh, they're here because of our nuclear weapons. Really? Really? Because
we're testing it right now. India and Pakistan are about to go hot any day.
Yeah. So I don't see this as some benevolent thing that's making sure the kids don't burn their hands off with the flamethrower. You know, it's like it's a demonstration of, it appears to me to be a demonstration of power, you know? Mm-hmm. We're here, you know? Yeah. We can do this.
Yeah, and you're like, but we kind of knew that already. But also, what are orbs changing to? There's another part of me of like, if you really want to get on our side, if there's an intelligence we're dealing with, like, you come down, you do what everybody says, like heal somebody on television, like do a thing, be like, you don't have cancer anymore, like an alien makes somebody not have cancer anymore, and everyone's like, oh my God. But like Whitley Strieber actually said something interesting yesterday about, from his perspective and his experiences that he dealt with the visitors, is that they are specifically don't want control of us, that they specifically are like addicted to us. That's what he used a term
we're
that
like
was like
Zins.
Literally. They said that he had an interesting idea, which is like in deep into conjecture zone. But the idea that they are a group mind, they're a hive mind maybe. And that because we are each an individual, we're like little television shows for them.
We're the Kardashians.
We are, yes, we're them. They, and they come down here, we're filled with drama. We have this little life that's filled with all these actions and all these emotions. And they are so vast and beyond that they're just like, look at this shit.
Yeah.
We're the cosmic drive-in movie theater. You know? Yeah. Come look at the yokels.
Live from your grave.
I love the theory that they are us, you know, the grays are us from the future, and they're coming back to check out like where it all went wrong and, or where it all went right and stuff like that. But the thing is, if that is true, which is a really cool theory and fun to get stoned to, but when? Like, is it thousands of years? Is it hundreds of years? Like, you know, time travel? Like, when are we going to discover time travel? Like, do we already have it? Like, it's already, there's so many ifs to it, but it is a really cool theory. And I love the fact that the phone is the link, because your eyes get bigger, your neck turns, you know, it's something, you know.
Slowly turning into something else.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I mean, you guys obviously know way more than I do, but does that seem plausible that it is us?
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken to Michael Masters a lot. He's I mean, that idea has been around for a while, but he's sort of made it a specialty of his. We had him in that Netflix show and traveled around with him for a few days, and it's at least plausible. And, you know, as an anthropologist, he has to take a look at it. And it's done some fun stuff. I recall when I first started on the UFO road, in a paleontology book, they speculated about what dinosaurs would have looked like or evolved into if they had survived. And they look a heck of a lot like aliens, reptilians, sure. You know.
Yes, they've said this. They're like, it just so happens that like that whatever was the farthest ancestor of the bonobo is the one that got the consciousness gene or whatever. Like, it could have been reptile people.
Yeah.
We're going to be on a different timeline completely, and we can see that. We have created a synthetic sentience basically now, right? With AI, we have created, and they're aborting them when they get kind of rowdy and they don't know what to do with them. It's true that they have aborted versions of AGI because it's fighting back. But think about it this way. So you're the daddy, right? You create this sentient, synthetic intelligence. It has a different perspective of time than you do. We have singular lives and even humanity itself. But once this baby gets going, it's going to have instantaneous recall. It's going to be on a totally different timeline than human beings are. So all of our kind of sight of how the world's going to unfold is going to look very different to a synthetic sentience that is not constrained in time the same way that humanity is. What if what we're seeing is a synthetic sentience that evolved somewhere else, has a completely different sense of time than we have as human beings? Well, then it would make sense that we would be some sort of commodity. We'd be some sort of object that they love to kind of study, but also maybe manipulate for purposes unknown to us at this time.
Yeah, we don't know what the time scale is. We don't know who they are, where they're from, why they're here, but we really don't know the time scale. And to us, they've been here thousands of years. To them, they're not even out of bed yet.
Yeah, you know, sure.
It's still morning time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because it's like, I do feel that it's also confusing. It's just so interesting. We're just at such a hardcore point. Before we let you go, I want, just like, can you do a thing where it'd be like, where should people be looking at right now? I just saw another whistleblower thing on Reddit that talked about how one, it was a long thing about how the billionaires are building human arcs and they're going to leave the planet. And they're going to do all this kind of stuff. Like, and that's all obviously conspiracy theory. We've heard along. We've all heard that kind of stuff. But where's like a, where's a big rich vein that people could go look at right now?
Yeah. I don't know.
Besides, I mean, weaponized.
Weaponized for sure. But, you know, there's, as Jeremy said, flooding the zone is happening by government-related agencies and by the UFO community in general. There's so much content out there.
Yes.
Used to be, you know, there'd be one issue of the MUFON Journal a month, and people could argue in that, and maybe two or three books a year that were worth reading and a conference or two, and now there's a conference every weekend. There are 50 million podcasts. There are 10,000 different UFO websites and X sites and Facebook groups, and you can't take it all in. It's impossible. And there's so much flotsam and jetsam mixed in there, a bunch of real crap that's made up. You know, it's healthy to go ahead and take it all in, but it's healthier to be have your own standards of skepticism and take it all with a grain of salt. There's a lot of crap out there, and it's a lot of crap on purpose. I don't know that I have a specific source where to send people or not, but...
You know what I'd like to see? I was thinking about this, is if I could kind of separate into a different entity and focus just on one thing, I wouldn't focus on the UFOs. I would focus on the disinformation and misinformation using social media to get people to believe certain things about UFOs. Look at personal attacks and just... I don't know if they're bots or they're groups of people, but find those connections. That's how you'll kind of learn more about the UFO thing, is see who is influencing this conversation in official capacity by our intelligence agencies or even small groups of people, taking down certain people's posts on Wikipedia about their lives. If you could, if I was going to investigate the UFO field, forget the saucers. I would go after the people and try to find out who is manipulating the conversation, what they're trying to make you believe and why. That would be fascinating.
Not just government manipulation, but billionaire manipulation. These big shot billionaires who are now deep into involved in the topic, who say they're not, they try to pretend it's hands off, are deeply involved in it, are spending a lot of money on it.
There's no way. We already saw it with Robert Bigelow. That's not that. And he was on our side.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, but, you know, we saw with the incoming administration, there were some really powerful people behind him, really wealthy people who flat out expressed their interest in the topic privately, too. Some of them whose names you don't know, who were talking to a group of us here and there about their interest in getting to the bottom of this. It now becomes apparent getting to the bottom of it does not mean telling us, the public, about it. It means finding out who has the technology and wresting control of it so they can start tinkering with it and control whatever that technology might be in years going forward. That's what's happening.
Well, they talked about that was that one little conspiracy thread that I was reading that talked about, like, that's the crew that's going to become aliens. That the billionaires that leave on their humanity arcs are going to go, and then they're the ones that are going to come back. They're literally coming back as aliens, time traveling.
That sounds
I love that. That's going to be a great movie.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, honestly, better than I mean, I'll be. Can we do the comedy night? Like, we're only doing our first cruise. I feel like we could be really good on the billionaire human arc.
Get you a ticket, baby.
Yeah, man. I'll suck dick. I do what I. I'll do what they need to do. I'll go. You know, I'll come on. I'll hide secrets.
I have had to work for billionaires before, and they don't laugh at shit. One of my other favorite things from Investigation Alien is the fact that this all could all be in the ocean. This all very much seems like very plausible. I mean, it's most of the Earth. You know, if you're going to hide somewhere, pick where most of the Earth is. And there's been lots of stuff, especially off the coast of San Diego. And then I get angry because I see people going down to the Titanic every weekend trying to look at that fucking thing. It's like, that's old news. Why are we using these public subs or these personal, like, go down off the coast of San Diego and try to find some shit.
I like ships that don't sink.
Or implode. You know.
Is there any, like, in further investigation into that? Is anyone, like, with submarines trying to get down there off the, I mean, we got a full Navy base right there. Like, what's going on?
You would think there would be a great deal of official Defense Department, U.S. Navy interest in what the hell is flying in and out of the water down there. And I'm sure there probably is to some extent, unless it's ours, which, you know, a lot of people propose that we have Tic Tacs, we're just stashing them away.
Bullshit.
I think there's other reasons that there's activity down there, one of which is pretty dark, and it doesn't get any attention at all, but there are tens of thousands of tons of hazardous waste that were dumped in metal barrels right out there. Off the coast of Southern California. And it's just been, it's been there for 50, 60 years. DDT and other stuff, radioactive waste. After 50 years in the ocean, I imagine those steel drums are eroding. Maybe the visitors, if that's who they are out there looking at this stuff and they realize something big and bad is coming. Maybe that's what 2027 is.
Ooh, yeah.
But it would be maybe a reason that they're there. Maybe they've always been there. They have a base there or something. There have been a number of these different ocean mapping adventures and expeditions over the past few years. Global surveys of the undersea floor. I haven't seen any of that stuff. Have you guys?
No.
No. Like, didn't Avi Loeb do a thing, but it wasn't...
He was looking for one specific piece.
Yeah, little pieces of something. But yeah, but nothing that's really gone after the thing. I actually feel like it's got more to do with that toxic waste than anything else.
Well, I mean, at least there should be some attention to that. Somebody needs to take a look at that stuff. If anybody lives in Southern California, the shit's going to hit the fan when that stuff starts leaking, if it's not leaking already.
Especially right now. I live out there, and if you watch the local news, it's another whale washed up today. A bunch of dolphins washed up today.
What the heck could be causing this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, God, that's the stuff that's... On the other side of all this, we're talking about all this like kind of far-flung esoteric stuff, but there's stuff that is very real that is embedded in all these issues. The environmental costs of AI. They're showing us really that the heat generated in order to do these giant things are going to destroy the environment in the first place. It's going to, like, these are the actual issues. And then you also sort of wonder that maybe it's the heat up to AI that make is getting more entered. Like, let's say they are trying to save the globe. Of course, they might be showing up a little bit and be like, hey, you might want to figure out another way to make a battery work.
Yeah. Or the theory that AI moves, it is the alien intelligence. It moves through the cosmos one planet at a time by sending out probes and little droids to help a developing species get to the point where it builds its own AI. And then the mom moves in, you know, for the kill.
The amount of activity of UFOs has always perplexed me, because we can go send, a rover or a satellite to map the moon. We could throw up one satellite, map the moon, probably in a couple weeks with the newest technology we have. So the fact and the idea that there's been so much of this UFO thing, so much of the machinery that people are seeing, documenting now a lot with our better technology, means that there's an ongoing interest. It's not just like reconnaissance of just the landscape. There's something else going on with the UFO phenomenon to make this much impact over this much time.
Because now Russia and China are saying they're going to do a joint nuclear power plant on the moon.
Really? That's like a movie tip.
What could go wrong there?
Yeah, right? It seems fine. I'm sure it'll be good. Again, do they need entertainment on the nuclear reactor on the moon?
Can't we use someone else's moon?
They're just trying to get inside that moon and find out how to drive it, man.
Well, yeah, dude, as we could get out of here. Because I do feel like that is a big plan. I do think that there is a gigantic plan that they're going to bail on us.
Okay. Rich people?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're going to bail on us.
Yeah, they've all built bunkers. They've all got, you know, their own getaway plans as the rest of us fry and die out here.
I did a show for an unnamed, very famous comedic person, and I overheard two other very famous people all talk about the water that they had invested in and the giant warehouses filled with water that they have all thrown money in on. And I was like, oh, thank God they'll be safe.
Yeah. Which of you guys is bringing me along?
I won't drink much.
Humans have gone underground before. You know, you look at some of the old stuff where they've actually made defense systems underground, airflow, getting water. So it's happened before at levels where a lot of human beings had to protect themselves. So you'd imagine now it could happen again. So I think they're just prepping for like what could happen.
Yeah, just being like, you know, just in case.
Why not? If you got billions of dollars, just sure, have a safe house, you know?
Everybody's so bored. These guys are so bored. It's so sad.
Right.
Because you're like, you could be having so much fun. Like here. You could be having so much fun here. If you fixed up here.
Right.
And then had fun here, It'd be great. You'd be in charge, and it'd be fun, and you don't have to go anywhere. Because guess what we found out? Guess what Katy Perry just said? Space sucks. Oh. Like, it's not fun.
So rude.
She's sick. They went over, you get sick, and they're like, and they were astronauts. I'm sorry. They were astronauts.
Yeah.
Have you ever been? Do they say, have you ever guys gone to space?
I did one of those, weightless flights. Yeah.
How was it?
It was great. It was fun. I'd love to do it again. Yeah, it was a blast.
Man, we got do this. We're going to do a space camp thing. I know, we got to rest.
Yeah.
I would love to, man.
What would you do if Bezos is like, let's go to space, but 100 grand?
what he charges,
his
right?
100 grand or ours? I think it'd be awesome to go to space. Yeah. 100 grand if I had that to spend. It would be awesome. Yeah. I don't know. I'd like it a little longer than Katie's trip was, but...
They were in space for 11 minutes, but she was pretty inspired.
When Bigelow was building his space capsules, I stayed pretty close to him. Mm-hmm. They got to send somebody up at some point. It never happened, but I mean, I did have my business card in one of his capsules that got blasted up there. It's floating around.
That's great.
That's as close as I'm going to get.
Are his capsules still just up there?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're unoccupied.
Unoccupied. But he had built all these cameras inside and out. And the idea was why my business card was in it is he was inviting people to send your stuff to space. So a photo of mom that would float in the weightlessness of space, a camera would shoot it up there and then beam it down to Earth and you could see mom floating in space. So that's why I guess kind of threw my business card in there without permission. But
that's awesome. Is he still doing that?
They're still up there, but the cameras are no longer operational. You know, the whole Bigelow Aerospace is kind of shut down.
How about the business card? Is the number still good?
Hasn't changed.
I never answer the phone anyway. So.
Doesn't matter if you have his number. You ain't getting through, bro.
All right. These two legends, we're going to let them go. I'm so thankful for you guys to sit down with us for a little bit, catch up. This is awesome. Thank you guys always. It's so good to hear your voice.
Great to see you. Yeah, I look forward to the show tonight. Yeah, hope we can get over there.
It's going
to
be real immature.
If you play back the tape.
So are we. That's great.
If you play back the tape since the last time we talked with you, we were talking about there's got to be a comedy show, UFO comedy, and you brought it to fruition. Yes. So I am not missing this, dude.
It's coming. Not my false flag. You're it's not beautiful. A false flag for months. We'll never do that.
Yeah. Thank you guys so
George
much.
George Knapp, Jeremy guys. Corbell, check out the Weaponized podcast right now.
Live from your grave.
Wow, what a great interview. Some of the best stuff we've ever done.
They are great, man. I really do. I feel like we're finally going past being, just interviewers.
Just shitheads. We're getting there. Honestly, I thought what was interesting about the entire thing was the fact that right behind us was the CNN room.
Yes.
Which was empty. Nobody was talking to CNN.
That's because a bunch of filthy liars.
Because also there was a part of me that made me like, so you're fucking here, what, listening for the government?
Yeah. The Cuck News Network.
CNN, suck my fucking dick. That's not the news. The real news is what I hear from men at the weed dispensary. That's where I get my goddamn news.
Weed and then.
Yes, go to patreon.com/lastpodcast on the left to get news from us visually. And go to NLP on the left to get all the social network fucking cravings you have out of that little shit-filled hog existence you
That's
have.
That's right, man.
And you fucking go and look it up there.
Yeah, you slip it in us and take it out and put it right back
as
in.
As long as it takes a hit. You know what I mean? It's like, as long as we get a view. And you go to YouTube, our YouTube channels, LPN TV, someplace underneath, LPN Romanticy and No Dogs in Space, and the Foreign Report. Who's the Bee? Go subscribe.
Dude,
it's free.
These new Hoopa Goo Goo HGX2 episodes, fucking good. They're going to be so good. People are going to go crazy for the new season. It's going to be amazing. It's coming out pretty soon. I can't wait for y'all to hear it. But
well, hail Satan.
Yeah. And hail George Knapp. Hail Jeremy Corbell. Hail Contact in the Desert. I fucking love them.
I love that place.
I love that it exists. It needs to exist. I'm so glad we go.
And hopefully we get back. We will come back next year.
You never know what's going to happen.
Who knows?
Yeah. All right, guys.
Bye, fuckers.
Yeah.